information available in the Housekeeping Rules pod, which is located on the left bottom corner of your screen. Please note that Spanish interpretation is provided for this call. We will start with a briefing from Policy Development Support Team, which will last about an hour. Then a questions and answers session will follow. Meanwhile, please feel free to type your questions or comments with suggested format in the chat box. I will now hand it over to David Oller for his opening remarks. David?
Thank you, Ozan. My name is David Oller, and I have the pleasure of heading the policy development team at ICANN. We normally present before each ICANN meeting this briefing to allow all of us to understand the top issues that will be discussed and to help us prepare for the meeting. With that, of course, we have policy development at ICANN through the activities of our supporting organizations, the generic name supporting organization, the address supporting organization, or the country code supporting organization. And I'd like to show this graph on some of the activities and steps for those processes. But we also have involvement of the advisory groups who provide advice and input into these processes, from the Governmental Advisory Committee or the At-Large Advisory Committee, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and the Root Server System Advisory Committee are all involved, in addition to many others who have inputs. So with that, I'd like to just say a little brief note about our policy team that supports and facilitates the work of you who volunteer your time and efforts in the policy or advice development area. We are 34 full-time employees, subject matter experts to assist, as well as support services in 5 time zones across 11 countries with 11 languages as well. And we're happy to be able to present this webinar and continue our support of your work in the important area of policy and advice development at ICANN. In terms of ICANN 62, the policy forum, this is the third policy forum that we've had in the new series, but the first one to be held in the Latin American and Caribbean region. So we're very happy to visit Panama City, Panama, and be part of that region and with the various stakeholders and constituency groups who will be there. You can also listen in on the Spanish channel to this webinar, as well as seeing this document translated into Spanish for your use. The supporting organizations and advisory committees have taken the lead in organizing this program. It's 4 days. The mornings will be dedicated to outreach and advancing policy and advice development work, intense discussions, while the afternoons will feature cross-community and high-interest topics of interest to the entire community, exploring a variety of topics and issues, including some of the policy development efforts. The other important thing about this meeting is on the first day, Monday, the 25th, we'll have the presentation of the Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Awards. This concludes a community-driven selection process, and it honors a person from the community for his or her efforts in promoting cross-community discussions and consensus approaches. There will be network receptions each night that will allow the participants to interact with each other after the working sessions. While there will be no official or formal opening ceremony or public meeting of the ICANN board or public sessions, as you may know from the larger ICANN meetings, this will be a focused agenda where the groups can really take into detail some of the most pertinent policy issues that we have. And so to that extent, we thank people for their active participation, and we know that the consensus policies developed by our multi-stakeholder model gives our results both effectiveness and legitimacy. With that, I want to focus on just briefly some of the cross-community and high-interest topics. You see them listed here. They will cover some of the review work relating to the WHO is review team efforts, as well as the final recommendations of the ICANN accountability work stream. They'll also focus on some of the ongoing policy work from the GNSO, especially in the GDPR, the Global General Data Protection Regulation area, as well as the focus on the temporary specification linked to that and ongoing efforts moving forward, as well as the geographic names at the top level. I'll briefly let you look at some of these cross-community topics, and it'll be there for your reference. But if you're interested in hearing more about the WHO IS review teamwork, they will be having a session which provides some information here about the overview and ways to prepare. Again, the general data protection regulations and its impact on our registration directory services will also be talked about, a popular topic, and there will be an overview on that. What does it mean for ICANN and the stakeholders, and how we'll be addressing that going forward. And, of course, the important accountability report. The final report will provide some of the recommendations of this team and how that will improve work at ICANN. With that, in terms of the policy and other developments linked to these cross-community sessions or high-interest topics, I'll turn it over to Caitlin to talk to you a little bit more in depth about what the GNSO will be doing in this area. Caitlin, please.
Thank you, David, and welcome, everyone. My name is Caitlin Tubergen, and I help support the Generic Name Supporting Organization. And I'm going to briefly cover the high-interest session on the temporary specification. As you are now all probably aware, the ICANN board adopted the temporary specification for GTLD registration data last month. The adoption of this temporary specification was needed to allow ICANN contracted parties, namely the GTLD registries and ICANN accredited registrars, to comply with existing ICANN contractual obligations while also complying with the European Union GDPR, also known as the General Data Protection Regulation. According to the provisions in the contracts that ICANN has with registries and registrars, the adoption of a temporary specification triggers the requirement for the GNSO to commence a policy development process to confirm whether or not the temporary specification should become a consensus policy. This policy development process is required to be completed in a one-year time period. During this high-interest topic session at ICANN 62, which is scheduled on the last day of the meeting, or the Thursday, as the last session of that day, the Council leadership will provide an update on the discussions that have taken place prior to, as well as during ICANN 62, in relation to the policy development process, as well as the expected next steps. As I previously mentioned, following the adoption of the temporary specification, the GNSO is now tasked to commence a policy development process. The GNSO Council, as the manager of the PDP, is expected to ensure the effective setup, management, and oversight of this PDP. Factoring in the time available to complete the process, the GNSO Council is considering initiating what is called an expedited policy development process, otherwise known as an EPDP, which will hopefully allow meeting the one-year time period that is available to complete the process. An EPDP follows to a large extent the same steps as a normal PDP would, but there are some areas that have been streamlined, especially in the initial phase of the work, that is expected to result in important time savings. Following the adoption of the temporary specification, the GNSO Council did have a number of questions in relation to the scope, timing, impact of future potential changes to the temporary specification, as well as relevant procedural requirements that were discussed amongst the Council, stakeholder group, and constituency chairs, as well as with the Board. This is the first time ever a temporary specification has been adopted, followed by a one-year policy development process, so there is no precedent or template that can be used. The Council held an extraordinary meeting this morning to further discuss these issues and especially focus on the next steps required to commence the EPDP, such as the development of the EPDP initiation request and the EPDP team charter. The focus of the Council has been to agree on the procedural aspects of the policy development process to ensure optimal preparedness for the next steps. Once the Council has agreed how to proceed, it will also need to determine what should happen with the Next Generation Registration Directory Services PDP Working Group. That effort started over 2 years ago with the objective to develop a Next Generation Registration Directory Service. However, the adoption of the temporary specification has now superseded some of that work, so the Council will need to consider whether to suspend or terminate that effort, as it is unlikely that this PDP can operate in parallel to the policy development process for the temporary specification. In terms of next steps, as I previously mentioned, the Council did hold an extraordinary meeting today, and it will now focus its attention on the drafting of the EPDP initiation request and the EPDP team charter. This will include aspects such as the scope of the EPDP team composition, as well as proposed working methods, again factoring in that the process will need to be completed within a one-year time period. Shortly thereafter, the EPDP team is expected to be formed. As part of the discussions on the initiation request and the charter, the Council will need to agree on the composition of the team, factoring in features such as representativeness, manageability, empowerment, and experience. A significant commitment will be expected from EPDP team members, as the work, again, needs to be completed in a one-year time period. As such, existing practices and approaches are not deemed viable. The Council expects that inputs received as part of the PDP 3.0 conversations, which are focused on enhancing the efficiency and effectiveness of the PDP, will provide important guidance in this regard. The formation of the PDP team will mark the commencement of the deliberations, and a tentative timeline foresees the publication of an initial report shortly after ICANN 63 in October of this year to be able to complete the remaining steps and for the Council to deliver its proposed policy recommendations in time for ICANN board consideration at the latest by May 24, 2019. As this is a fast-moving topic, I would like to encourage you to join the high-interest topic session at ICANN 62, where the Council leadership will share with you all of the latest information. And I'll now turn it over to my colleague, Steve Chan.
Thanks very much, Caitlin. My name is Steve Chan. I'm also part of the GNSO support team, and I will be talking to you about a couple cross-community sessions on geographic names at the top level. So to begin with an overview, this topic is geographic names at the top level is a topic of high interest across the community, and there were also at one point parallel efforts within the community dedicated to this singular topic. So in an attempt to try and support these discussions in a unified manner, they were pulled into these subsequent procedures, new GTLD subsequent procedures, PDP working group, and more specifically put into a separate work track five. And so that work track five is dedicated to a single topic of geographic names at the top level. In terms of what to expect at ICANN 62, there are a pair of cross-community sessions scheduled. One is on Monday and the other is on Thursday. These will be led and moderated by the co-leads of Work Track 5, at least one of which I know is on this particular webinar. And so the goal of those sessions will be to further validate preliminary outcomes, but also to continue and seek resolution and progress on open issues. So in terms of how you can prepare for these sessions, we'd advise that the best way to do that is to consult the Work Track 5's wiki space. And there you can see the work track's terms of reference for work track 5. You can see a working document that tries to capture the deliberation so far. And you can see a list of background resources as well as other things. So in terms of what work has been done so far on work track 5, As noted, WorkTrack 5 is a sub-team of the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures, PDP Working Group, and as such, it operates under the GNSO Operating Procedures, and it has an inclusive leadership structure where you have a co-lead from each of the CCNSO, the GAC, the ALAC, and the GNSO. To date, the WorkTrack has completed its terms of reference. It has a work plan, and at this point, it's also made some progress on its substantive deliberations. And so some of the topics under discussion are listed here, but firstly, they began discussions and review of the terms within the applicant guidebook. So that's inclusive of the two-letter combinations here, country and territory names, geographic names that include capital city names, non-capital city names, subnational places, and UNESCO regions. And one of the other topics that the WorkTrack has looked at is also geographic terms that are not included in the applicant guidebook at this time. And so lastly, some specifics about the two cross-community sessions at ICANN 62. The first one is on Monday at 15:15. This session will be focused more on providing the status update, progress, and timeline for the work. It will also be looking at some of the preliminary outcomes that the group has reached and to seek feedback and validation of those preliminary outcomes. And then some discussion on key topics where there's been significant discussion within the work track. Session two is on Thursday, also at 15:15. And this session will primarily focus on open topics more exclusively. And so it's a similar focus of concentrating on topics where there's been significant discussion within the work track. And so there, the work track will seek to try to build some momentum and try to seek some resolution on its open issues. And both of these sessions are, of course, cross-community sessions and open to all and hopefully not conflicted, and we welcome all of you to join. And with that, I think I'm passing. Yeah, there you go. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes, and we're now transitioning to the portion of the webinar where my colleagues and I will provide updates from the supporting organizations and advisory committees. I'll start with the Address Supporting Organization, or ASO. Since ICANN 61, the ASO Address Council has continued to monitor and track the organizational review that wrapped up late last year. As part of that process, the recommendations in the final report suggested a structural, a structural change to the ASO, and the Internet Number community has been discussing that potential change through regional consultations. Those consultations continue, and the Number Resource Organization Executive Council is coordinating next steps. As mentioned earlier by David Olive, the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability has recently finished its work on Workstream 2, and they'll be presenting their final report at ICANN 62. So the ASO AC has also been tracking this through its two representatives. Recently, the ASO Address Council completed the selection process for ICANN Board Seat 9. Rhonda Silva was reappointed to another three-year term, and the Address Council has been discussing the process for its next board seat selection process, which will begin next year. In terms of regional policy development, as you know, most of the policy development work of the ASO is conducted at a regional level. The regional internet registries have completed the first round of meetings of the calendar year. And each region has about a handful or so proposals, policy proposals under consideration. In general, most of the proposals have to deal with transfer or exhaustion of IPv4 address space, and then we also have clarification of assignments or sub-assignments of other internet number resources. And we're also seeing policy proposals around initial allocations of IPv6 blocks. Again, a lot of clarification happening across regions and trying to streamline all of those policies. Just quickly looking ahead to the meeting in Panama, the ASO Address Council already had its annual meeting, which was at ICANN 61. So there will be no formal ASO sessions at ICANN 62, but you will see members of the Internet Number community around Panama City. And if you'd like to engage more directly with the numbers community, they have their next round of RIR meetings coming up from September to November. And with that, I hand it over to my colleague, Bart Boswinkle.
Thank you, Carlos. I'll give you a brief update on what the CCTLD community will be discussing at the ICANN 62 in Panama. First, the policy and policy-related work. As you see, the main topic listed is the PDP on retirement or CCTLD, the third CCNSO PDP. This does not mean that other topics or policy-related topics will not be discussed, but they have been already addressed by my colleagues, so I will not go into the details, even at a high level. So the PDP on retirement of CCTLDs, as I said, this is the third CCNSO policy development process. First of all, there will be an update to the community on Tuesday during Block 2, so you're welcome to join that update. And secondly, there will be a three-hour working group meeting on Thursday morning. And at that meeting, they hope to move on with the development of the policy itself, but I'll touch upon that a little bit later. To date, what they have completed is a terminology glossary, although this is a living document. The main part has been completed, and it includes references to the ISO 3166 standard, so it might be of interest to people dealing with country and territory names and definitions as top-level domains as well, to have a look at that terminology and glossary. It has a broader scope than just the retirement of CCTLDs. It provides the basic definitions around country codes as they are currently used in the ICANN environment. The second part they've completed is the retirement scenarios. This is another way of saying documenting the few retirements of CCTLDs that have happened in the past and see how the process has evolved. Although there is no process or no policy in place, CCTLDs have been retired, and so the ICANN.org, PTI or IANA, and the CCTLD involved have been developing ways to deal with it, and the policy is will look into it. So the retirement scenarios, I'll get back to that in a little bit later, and the work plan has been developed as well. So currently, the working group is undertaking a comparative analysis. They've concluded their first reading, and the comparative analysis is looking at the retirement scenarios I just mentioned and check how, if there are commonalities in the way the different retirements have occurred in the past, and if there are, even if there are differences, and look at the evolution. So, and that will fill into, or that will provide a basis for a discussion on the development or on the policy itself, because at that time the working group will talk about how the process should look like. So that's going to be a more of a the real policy work, and hopefully the working group will kick this part off at the Panama meeting. And finally, as part of the work plan, the working group intends to develop some stress tests and check the developed policy against these stress tests. You'll see a URL where you can find additional information on the retirement or CCTLDs. And as I said, other policy and policy-related work that will be discussed at the CCMZO meetings is around the use of country and territory names as TLDs, and also the use of emojis at second level. So looking at the sessions of the CCMZO in Panama, first of all, the CCMZO and the CCTLD community present will meet for 4 days, starting on Monday with Tech Day and working group meetings. On Tuesday and Wednesday, there will be CCMZO members, effectively CCTLD meetings, and the CCMZO has scheduled the morning sessions and in some cases the afternoon sessions as well, and the CCMZO Council will meet on Wednesday afternoon in Block 5. And on Thursday there will be some working group meetings again. Topic highlights, besides the policy and policy-related work, is a session or sessions on disaster recovery and business continuity. This is a follow-up of a similar session during the San Juan meeting, and it's intermediate and prepares for a workshop on this topic under the auspices of the Security and Stability Group of the CCNSO, the TLD Ops, in Barcelona. There will be a dedicated part during Tech Day, which is more an operational technical perspective on the disaster recovery and business continuity. And during the CCNSO Members Day, there is more the business and administrative approach and perspective on disaster recovery and business continuity. Of course, as already mentioned, the Workstream 2 accountability recommendations will be discussed by the CCTLDs present. So there is a session on this, which will be on Wednesday, and the recommendations and the discussion on the recommendations and the adoption will be discussed at the CCNSO Council meeting on Wednesday afternoon as well. And finally, there is a PTI session, again, discussing with the CCTLD present and to get their views on the, in particular this time, on the charter of the Customer Standing Committee. And other TLD operators are invited to attend that session as well, because this is about the how the Customer Standing Committee, which is monitoring the performance of the of PTI, will conduct its affairs in future. So that was my brief update on the CCNSO, and I'd like to hand over again to Steve to brief you on the GNSM. Please go ahead, Steve.
Thank you very much, Bart. Again, this is Steve Chan, and I will be providing a brief update on the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or the GNSO. As this is the policy forum, the GNSO has carved out a significant time for its policy development activities. The different policy development process working groups have been allocated substantial face-to-face time to progress their deliberations. In addition, the GNSO Council has reserved time to further plan and deliberate on the GTLD registration data temporary specification policy development process. Bilateral meetings are also scheduled with the Country Code Supporting Organization, or the CCNSO, and the Governmental Advisory Committee, or the GEC, to discuss issues of common interest and or activities that have been jointly organized. For example, the CCNSO and GNSO councils are expected to discuss next steps in relation to the consideration of the revised Customer Standing Committee Charter, for which they are jointly responsible. I would also like to take advantage of this opportunity to invite you to the upcoming pre-ICANN 62 GNSO Policy Update webinar, which will take place on Monday, 18 June at 2100 UTC. If you're interested in having a more in-depth briefing on the status of the different GNSO policy development activities, as well as what you can expect at ICANN 62, please join this webinar, which has as its objective to facilitate your participation and engagement in GNSO policy development activities at ICANN 62. And my colleague Ariel has posted that link in the chat. In addition, the GNSO support team will also be hosting a daily GNSO briefing at ICANN 62 at the start of every day, which will highlight the meetings on the agenda for that day and the topics to be discussed. You will also see a limited set of GNSO stakeholder group and constituency meetings on the agenda. These are also, to a large extent, focused on policy-related activities, as well as coordination and engagement with members of these respective groups. The GNSO Council is expected to... Sorry, just put my computer to sleep. Sorry, one second. Apologies. Apologies for that. Again, the Council is expected to include review of topics, including the status of the implementation of the GNSO review, which is nearing its completion, further consideration of the policy development process on the temporary specification for GTLD registration data, consideration of the use of emoji domain names in GTLDs, a possible final report from the curative rights for IGO and NGO PDP working group, as well as consideration of the expected accountability workstream 2 final report. Lastly, there is a wrap-up session scheduled at the end of the meeting where the GNSO will commence its planning for the next ICANN meeting. So to look a little bit more in detail about some of the policy topics at ICANN 62, hopefully this gives you a sense of what you can expect at ICANN 62. So here on this slide, you can see an overview of those sessions. Substantial time has been set aside for the new GTLD subsequent procedures, PDP work group, which includes two cross-community sessions on geographic names at the top level, as well as sessions dedicated to that working group's work tracks 1 through 4, and its soon-to-be-published initial report. As noted before, the GNSO is expected to further consider next steps in relation to the policy development process on the temporary specification for GTLD registration data, which could include allowing the ePDP team to commence deliberations if formed by that time. The review of all rights protection mechanisms will focus its attention on the sub-team reports on the new Uniform Rapid Suspension, or URS, data collection, as well as procedural issues. And last but not least, the new GTLD auction proceeds cross-community working group is expected to provide a status update to the community while also considering responses to the remaining charter questions as it is working towards the publication of its initial report. So as you can see, it's a busy agenda for GNSO at ICANN 62. And as noted, if you're interested in getting details about any of these topics, please join the pre-ICANN 62 GNSO Policy Update webinar next week. And with that, I conclude my brief update, and I hand over to my colleagues, Heidi and Evan, to discuss the At-Large Advisory Committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Hello, everyone. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm Vice President for Policy Development and At-Large Relations. My colleague, Evan Adordu, and I will give you a preview of the key policy topics and activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, the ALAC, and the At-Large Community, consisting of 228 at-large structures and 76 individuals during ICANN 62. I'll be providing the key areas of focus for the ALAC and at-large during ICANN 62. They will be holding a total of 19 sessions with a focus on policy issues. The key policy issues to be discussed are the new GTLDs and work tracks 1 to 5, as well as GDPR and who is. At-large will also have a session on the root key, signing key, or KSK, rollover. To prepare for the cross-community sessions in the afternoon, At-large will hold daily prep sessions. Evan will be giving you some more details on the policy issues on the next slide. Related to organizational and process issues, there will be sessions on such topics as the next steps in the at-large review and on the fiscal year 19 budget. At-large will also hold sessions with the Governmental Advisory Committee and the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, as well as joint outreach and engagement sessions with the non-commercial stakeholder groups. At the same time, the regional at-large organizations, or RALOs, will be busy. The regional leadership will focus on implementing their policy hot topics and continue discussions on individual member participation within at-large. As ICANN 62 is within the Latin America and Caribbean Islands region, LACRALA members will be holding both an open house meeting as well as an evening networking open house on Tuesday. Also, members of the AFRALO AFRICON group will meet to finalize their statement on GDPR. Regarding leadership transition, the ALAC and regions have completed their elections. The new leaders will take their seats during ICANN 63, but are already engaging in a transition period. In addition, the ALAC is currently having a call for nominations for a new ALAC chair. Alan Greenberg, the ALAC chair since 2014, who I see is on the call, will be stepping down from his position as chair as well as from the ALAC at the end of ICANN 63. And the new ALAC chair is expected to be known during ICANN 62. A transition period will follow between ICANN 62 and 63 to ensure that there is a smooth transition at that point. I will now hand the floor over to Evan, who will provide a brief update on the at-large policy development activities at ICANN 62. Evan?
Thank you, Heidi. Hello, this is Evan Aradodu, Policy Support Coordinator for At-Large and the At-Large Advisory Committee. As an advisory committee to ICANN, the ALAC has made 11 public comment statements since ICANN 61 in March, and will be focusing on the following topics during ICANN 62. On this slide, there is a list of recent related statements to each topic. Firstly, new GTLDs and work tracks 1 through 5. Community TLDs are of crucial importance to at-large. The ALAC supported the draft procedure, including the proposed community GTLD change request form, subject to three provisions articulated in the statement. Required outreach to the TLD community, change request comment period, and approval criteria. Secondly, GDPR and who is. Please note the first two statements listed are not formal ICANN public comments, but requests from the community to comment on these topics. Overall, the ALAC agreed with the ICANN Interim Compliance Model's tiered access approach while remaining divided on several other issues, including purposes of processing WHOIS data, applying the interim model on a global basis, and distinction between legal and natural persons. The third policy topic of focus is the KSK rollover. The ALAC provided several recommendations to ICANN regarding the impending KSK rollover and called for a holistic review, including a risk assessment of the alternatives in time for further discussion at ICANN 62. For a full list of ALAC policy advice, please search the at-large website policy summary page. The link is on the slide there. Thank you. And now I will turn it over to Rob Hogarth, Vice President for Policy Development and GAC Relations.
Thank you very much, Evan. Welcome, everybody. It's an honor again to come speak to you all. I often enjoy watching the chat where it gives many of you an opportunity to greet each other if you haven't been on conference calls over the last week. So it's always fun to see that. I'm going to talk to you briefly about the GAC plans for the ICANN 62 meeting and give you an overview of some of the topics and some of the ways that the GAC is working to operate in preparations for, during, and then after the ICANN 62 meeting. As you all know, and as has been coming out in the theme that David introduced at the beginning of this session, this is a policy forum meeting, and as a result, the time frame is significantly compressed from other ICANN public meetings throughout the year. As a result, it becomes a very tight schedule, and the GAC leadership has great appreciation for a number of their fellow SOs and ACs to patiently work with them as we've scheduled some of the sessions for the Panama meeting. In particular, and what typically the GAC does is it looks at four major types of meetings or sessions during an ICANN meeting. There are those sessions that focus on substantive topics, those sessions that focus on operational matters. There are bilateral meetings with other ICANN structures and groups. And then there's the opportunity in a more plenary environment for the working groups to be able to share their work with the overall GAC membership and to actually move some initiatives forward. One of the innovations that the GAC schedule has opened up to for this meeting, and one that I think will continue into the future, is an opening 15 minutes or so at the beginning of each day to basically give an overview of the day, to be able to explain to GAC participants and observers what the goal or strategy is for the day, what some of the important sessions are, and what the GAC hopes to accomplish. I hope for some of the you who have an interest in GAC activities or the GAC's work, if you spend a little bit of time just at the beginning of each day, drop into the GAC room, you can get a good flavor for what the GAC is going to be discussing on any particular day in Panama City. Now, as I've noted, it's going to be a fairly busy week, almost 30 topic sessions covering about 24 hours of work just over those 4 days. But on the first day, or what some of you refer to as day zero or day minus one, on Sunday, the GAC is going to be conducting its 8th capacity building workshop. This has been a pilot and experimental effort in partnership between the GAC leadership and the ICANN government engagement team to find ways to reach out to particular regions of the globe and be able to focus and provide some in-depth discussion of issues, processes, and frankly just initial briefings for new participants in the GAC, new representatives, or simply people in the multi-stakeholder community who are more interested in understanding some of the basic information about the GAC. And so for some of you for whom this activity is new or the perspective of the governmental perspective that's brought to the multi-stakeholder community, if you're interested in that, I definitely recommend that you consider spending some time in the GAC meeting room on that Sunday to give yourself an opportunity to learn a little bit more about the GAC and its work. Julia Charvelin has shared a link to the agenda for that Sunday event in the chat room, and so I recommend that to you. The other major area that the GAC is beginning to pay attention to, and that's important from a planning perspective, is that GAC representatives are going to be talking about the upcoming high-level government meeting that's taking place during ICANN 63 in Barcelona. And a lot of the preparation for that is coming to a head, some substantive discussions about getting people lined up in speaking roles, talking about the agenda that's just recently come together for that meeting are going to be a topic of discussion on Monday around lunch. So for those of you who are looking a little bit ahead, that will be an interesting planning session to observe. In terms of substantive topics and operational topics, I've listed some of the major ones on the slide that you all can look at a little bit later. I think that in summary, in terms of both substantive and operational areas, there is more and more work taking place intersessionally among members of the committee. There's a lot of work that takes place as it does in the GNSO for many of you, in the ALAC for many of you, intersessionally. And that's a recent, relatively so, innovation for the GAC. Many of you who've been around the ICANN community for many years may recall those dates where, or those times when the GAC simply operated in private sessions, when the only time that GAC work got done was at ICANN public meetings. That culture and that workload approach has shifted significantly. And so the ICANN public meeting becomes much more of an opportunity, not just for GAC members to discuss and share their points of view, but frankly to bring people up to speed and give them updates on a lot of activity that takes place intersessionally. So literally any session that you're interested in participating in or looking in with respect to the GAC during the week, I think you'll find a good mix of people who are very experienced and know what's going on and a group who are just learning and becoming updated on what's going on. I highlighted in blue the GDPR issue, and that's because there's going to be a substantial period of time devoted during the week to that issue. The GAC's got over 4 hours of programming devoted to GDPR matters. There's going to be some discussions among the wide range of GDPR implementation issues, and the Public Safety Working Group is going to be having its own separate conversation about that as well. So that's going to be an item of significant focus and attention during the week. On the operational front, the group is going to be getting updates and information about the new GAC website, which is finally coming into its own in terms of a lot of work that's been contributed to by GAC participants and representatives, as well as the ICANN org staff who've done a lot of work on that in the past 8 months or so. And there's going to be some solid discussions about what the future is for the Independent Secretariat Support Function as the GAC looks to see how that function continues to serve the committee in the months and years ahead. There's also, and I'll just flag for folks who are interested in sort of observing the cycle and change of leadership, we are going to be opening up a new nomination period for the election of GAC leadership, both the chair position and the vice chair positions on Monday in Panama, and there will be a good 45-50-day nomination period that will take us close to the September timeframe. On the next slide, I wanted to just quickly highlight for you the work of the working groups within the GAC, and that's again, as I mentioned earlier, become an important component of the GAC's cycle of work throughout the course of the year. Working groups within the GAC are primarily a function or a tool of the GAC leadership to be able to focus individuals who are interested in specific issues or who have particular expertise in an area. And 4 working groups are going to be conducting sessions in Panama. The Human Rights and International Law Working Group, obviously significant interest in Workstream 2 among that group. The Underserved Regions Working Group is going to be providing the GAC with a summary of the experiences that the community and the committee have shared with respect to the capacity building workshops. There will be some decisions about how, you know, what the scope is and how those workshops are conducted going forward. In many respects, lessons learned and future expectations for those. The Public Safety Working Group is the chief engine within the GAC that has focused on the GDPR issue, has been a fantastic vehicle for generating that work and much of the conversations within the GAC. But at the same time, that working group also has a keen interest in domain abuse issues and things like that. So those types of topics will also be the subject of conversations in Panama. And then finally, the Nominating Committee Working Group is hoping to close up some fairly substantive work that they've been involved in for a long period of time to determine what's the appropriate way for the GAC to participate in the work of the ICANN Nominating Committee. And so some substantive discussions over a long period of time over what the appropriate mechanisms and means are for doing that. So that's a general overview. We certainly hope that many of you will be able to step into the room at least once during the week. For those of you who aren't committee members. And, you know, it's been a long time now, several years since the GAC has opened all of its sessions in a public manner to anyone who's interested in observing. And I think over time that has really helped to contribute to take some of the mystery away, improve relationships as we are seeing between the GAC and many other ICANN communities. And with some continued attention to those relationships, I think you'll continue to see some very productive work out of the GAC, not just in Panama, but beyond. So I'll stop there and turn the microphone over to my colleague Steve Sheng to talk about the Root Server System Advisory Committee. And I understand, Ozan, there may be a question or two that I'll come loop back and answer later on in the program. So thanks very much.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes, and I'll be providing the update from the Root Server System Advisory Committee. As you know, the RSEC advises the ICANN board and community on matters related to the operation administration of the Root Server System. Since ICANN 61 in Puerto Rico, there have been several publications. Today I'm highlighting two. First is RSEC 033. This is an RSEC statement on the distinction between RSEC and RootOps. The RSEC approved this statement primarily to help explain the differences between these two bodies because they recognize that there has been confusion about the two groups. RSEC and RootOps are names for two separate communities, and both of them have different missions and scope that relate to the DNS. Now, the document goes into further detail. It explains, as I mentioned, the scope of each group, how each group is representative, and how the groups conduct their meetings and their interactions. So feel free to read that document for further explanation. In RSEC 034, the RSEC provides a high-level summary of the outcomes from its sixth workshop. This workshop was held in May, and the purpose of the workshop was for RSEC to finalize its proposed governance model for the DNS root server system. So the RSEC members discussed the model, also potential scenarios that could be tested to the model, and outlined next steps for publication. So that report should be available soon. Looking ahead to the RSEC's activities at ICANN 62, for the first time at ICANN public meetings, all RSEC work sessions will be open for observation. This also includes a joint meeting with the leadership of the nominating committee and ongoing discussions about future RSEC work items, as well as some of its current work that the group hopes to finalize. The RSEC organizational review has been underway for about a year now. And at ICANN 62, Interil Consulting Group, which is the independent examiner that was contracted to conduct the organizational review, the Interil Consulting Group will be presenting its final report. That session is on Tuesday. And then finally, the RSEC will conduct its usual information session. This is when it gives an update in community about its publications, its work, and answer any questions that relate to its mission and upcoming priorities. As always, please refer to the ICANN 62 schedule for the most current information, including remote participation details. And now I'll hand this over to my colleague, Steve Sheng.
Thank you, Carlos. Hello, everyone. I'll provide a brief update of the activities at the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, also known as the SAC. There are several work parties underway in the SAC currently. The prominent one is the NAME Collision Analysis Project Work Party. This work party was formed to respond to the board's request last year to present data and analysis on NAME collisions. The board resolution tasked the SAC with 11 also questions regarding NAME collision. The SAC produced a proposal that went on for public comment. At the end of the public comment, we have received 10 comments, and the project team is revising the proposal, taking into consideration the comments. The target time to publish is July this year. At ICANN 62, there will be two sessions in total of 5 hours planned to go through the project plan and the various issues regarding data, confidentiality, and other matters. The next work party in the SDAC is who is rate limiting. Registrars and registries limit the amount of queries or the rate of queries they receive on the registration data directory services. Currently, there's no uniform way, and some of them, is very limited. So the SAC looked into the various practices of rate limiting by registries and registrars, and is aiming to provide an advisory on this topic shortly. The next area the SAC is looking into is the Internet of Things, and with the particular angle of its relevance to the ICANN community, probably in three areas: the IoT devices enable new types of distributed denial of service attacks on the DNS. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is increasing DNS stack rollover problem. And the third one is potential change to DNS usage patterns. So the work party is looking at these issues with particular focus for the ICANN community, and is providing some recommendations. Obviously, the IoT issues, it is much larger than ICANN, and many of those are out of scope for ICANN. But to the extent possible, the work party is trying to identify those areas that are relevant to ICANN that the ICANN community can do. The fourth initiative the SDAC is working on is the Ruzone ASK rollover. This is to respond a board request on May 13th to comment on the updated KSK rollover plan by ICANN. And the SDAC is working hard on that, trying to meet the deadline of August 10th. Finally, with the new SDAC leadership, they are looking to look beyond, a little far on the horizon, alerting and communicating with the ICANN community on emerging security issues. So the first attempt at the pilot of that will be in coordination with Tech Day. It will be a one-hour session looking at some BGP hijacking attacks. So that's a brief, quick overview of SDAC. Next, I'll hand it back to my colleague, Ozan. Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. And hello, everyone. This is Ozan again. We will now continue with questions and answers session. You might have noted on the screen that Adobe Connect Room microphone rights have been enabled. And to activate your microphone, please click on the microphone icon at the top of the toolbar and follow the instructions. If you have any questions or comments, you may go ahead and raise your hand to get in the queue, or type your question or comment in the chat box. I would like to remind you to mute your microphone when not speaking. During the registration period for this webinar, we have received a number of questions through the sign-up form. As you think about questions to ask Pulse Development Support Team and activate your microphones, I would like to go through some of the pre-submitted questions that are relevant to Pulse Development work. In the meantime, please feel free to either your raise hand or type your question or comment in the chat box. So we always prioritize the in-room questions, but I don't see any hands raised or comments or questions in the chat box. I'd like to go to the first question that we have received through the registration form, which is GEC related. So the question is, will there be discussions at the policy forum in Panama on the future role of GEC? And Rob, could you provide an answer for this question?
Sure. Thanks, Ozan. Thank you for the question. Over the last year, the GAC has embraced an active role in the administration of the empowered community. And I think that decision has driven several internal committee discussions about processes, about operational elements that can help the GAC operate more effectively in this new post-Diana transition environment. But I don't think that is to suggest that the fundamental GAC advisory role will change. That particular role, to my knowledge, is not the subject of any formal discussions at this point or any ones in the short term. But as I alluded to in my remarks earlier, on a strictly engagement front, the GAC has recently experienced an increase in direct interactions with the ICANN board and with a number of other supporting organizations and advisory committees on a variety of policy and even operational matters in recent months. That increased engagement could be temporary and situational, for example, the GDPR work, or it could be signaling the desire for some, you know, more fundamental role transformation. It's hard to tell because in either case, we need to see more data and experience with that to see if there's really a particular longer-term trend there. I can say that for Panama, that the GAC continues to work internally to identify ways to evolve and adjust its processes and practices so it can be more effective and efficient in the work that it's doing. As I noted, some of those topics at ICANN 62 will be related to the new and improved website. There are a lot of discussions about onboarding as the GAC continues to be one of the communities that experiences the most rotation with folks coming in and out of their various positions and roles within government. And so there are also conversations about operating principles and, as I mentioned earlier, the independent secretariat function. But no particular discussions are specifically targeted to more broadly examine the GAC's future role. For those of you who are interested in seeing that bigger picture or in trying to suss out from either a research or just a strategic perspective, I would suggest that you look a little bit at some of the discussions about GDPR implementation, where some folks have, looked to the GAC for potentially some input on accreditation type activities, where there's some discussion about guidelines or operating principles within some of that GDPR implementation work. You can also pay a little bit of attention to some of the discussions with the GNSO, the at-large community, and the CCNSO as well, as you see those relationships becoming more fulsome, the GAC's working much more on leveraging the liaison relationships with those communities. So I think overall, you are seeing more engagement and activity by the GAC, but I don't think that will change its fundamental role or that you'll see any specific conversation on the formal agenda, at least, in Panama. But happy to talk with anybody about that offline if folks are interested in that. Thanks a lot, Ozan. I think that'll cover it unless someone has a follow-up. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob. And I see a question by Alberto Soto in the chat box regarding KSK rollover. And I also note that our colleague Steve is typing, I think, to answer this question. I will go to another question that we received through the registration form now with respect to CCNSO. So this is composed of a number of questions, so I'm going to read them all. First one is, why are limited information on CCTLDs? Second, why do CCTLD managers remain largely invisible to their community stakeholders, government, etc.? As a result, the value and role of CCTLD remains unknown and underdeveloped. The other question is that why is there always a lack of understanding of ICANN's role in the redelegation process? And lastly, why can't the CCTLD's location be seen as neutral and balanced? But would you like to respond to these questions?
Yes, thank you, Ozan. And as you see, there are a lot of questions around CCTLDs. So let me first make very clear that, say, the role of the CCNSO and ICANN org and ICANN as a whole is very limited with respect to CCTLDs. And some of these questions are, in principle, out of scope of the CCNSO. For example, the first one, why is there limited information on CCTLDs? Basically, CCTLDs and their community are independent in providing the information to the local entities. So in principle, they remain largely independent of ICANN and the CCNSO in that respect. The information the CCNSO shares is was provided effectively by the CCTLDs. And as you will see, some CCTLDs are more active, far more active than others in this area. So it depends very much to which CCTLD you look at and how and the experience the local stakeholder and the local community will have with respect to the CCTLDs. So answer to these first two questions. I think if there is such an issue for the, and I don't know if the person who asked these questions is on the call or on the webinar, but the first and foremost is to approach the CCTLD and ask these questions to the CCTLD itself. Related, and this shows again the diversity, some CCTLD or manager are very large entities and they perform quite a lot of other functions, and so the management of the top-level domain is just a small portion of their general activities. And in their general other activities, they spend far more time and effort than in the management of the CCTO. This has to do with the size and other circumstances. So it's very difficult to provide a general response to these questions in because of the diversity of the CCTLD community itself as well. So I'll skip the second part of the second question for the same reason. With respect to the role of ICANN in the redelegation or transfer process, again, although it is happening a few times a year, a redelegation or transfer, an individual CCTLD will have hardly to deal with these processes. So for whatever reason, if all of a sudden a CCTLD needs to be transferred, people in country or in the territory, so these are the main actors, will have to learn everything for the first time. And it is not the process, although reasonably defined, the role and the makeup of the process is very much defined by the local stakeholders who will be involved in the transfer process. So I do understand the question, but it's also, this is not there is no general process and role of the stakeholders, and hence the role of ICANN will change and is perceived to change in each of these transfer processes. With respect to the final question, why can't the CCTLD location be seen as neutral and balanced? I find it a bit difficult to understand this question. I don't know to what location refers. Or is it purely the geographic location, or is the stress be on neutral and balanced, and the policy they use in registering second-level domains? If it's the latter, again, the principle is that the CCTLD policy is developed locally by the CCTLD manager, and it should, if you look at the policy documents, there is the assumption that it will be neutral and balanced. But at the end of the day, it's determined locally how this process looks like. If it's pure the geographic location, again, there is more the principle that the administrative context resides in the country or territory. But again, it could be, it depends on the local circumstances, whether this is always the case and whether the operator itself is located in territory and country. There are some territories where hardly any person lives, and although they have their own top-level domain, and you can't expect the manager to be located in that area. These are the exceptions, but so there is no real general answer to these questions. I hope this shows the diversity and of the CEC community and why these questions, they come with a lot of baggage, I would say. So back to you, Ozan.
Thank you, Bart.
I see that Demi Getchko is typing in the chat box, but other than that, I don't see any other comments or questions. So I will go to the third question. Okay, I see Demi's question in the chat box regarding CCTLD. As always, that's not a question, but a comment for Bart's explanation. Thank you, Demi. So I'm now going to the third question that we received through the sign-up form, and it relates to the GDPR. What does GDPR impact the internet community? And David, would you like to respond to that?
Thank you, Ozan. This is an issue that all the stakeholders and constituencies of ICANN are looking at and will be under active discussion, obviously, in Panama. The General Data Protection Regulation was adopted by the European Union and took effect on 25th of May this year uniformly across the EU countries, the purpose of which is to protect EU citizens and residents from privacy and data breaches. And it applies to groups processing and holding the personal data of subjects residing in the EU, regardless of where that organization may be located. When we look at the Internet and particularly the ICANN community, we see that the data protection regulation does require significant changes, in particular to our registration directory services, currently known as WHOIS. And to that extent, what was available at one point in terms of information, contact points, and the like, will have to be changed to abide by this new law that's now in effect as of May. So more recently, the ICANN board adopted a temporary specification policy implementing the interim compliance for ICANN for the WHOIS for that purpose, complying with the new law. And with this adoption of the technical specification, the community now is engaged to look at a new and next generation directory services in light of this. So the sessions at ICANN 62 will be talking about it. The one on Tuesday, the 26th of June, among others, will have panelists talking about the key policy changes resulting from this specification, how to move forward with the developing final consensus policy that creates a more permanent solution
adjusting to the new law and still balancing the privacy and access needed for law enforcement or other kind of legitimate reasons. So to that extent, I would refer you to the following page, which really details a lot of the latest activities, exchange of documents with the data protection agencies and the European Union to provide clarity on what that means for the ICANN system, such as WHOIS, and something that we are watching very closely, and you'll hear more of the details and next steps thought of by the community at ICANN 62 in Panama. So that just gives an overview for you. The details will be provided, I'm sure, in a lively and active discussion that will be in Panama, and as well as, I'm sure, other forums talking about the impact on that. With that, I'll turn it back over to Ozan.
Thank you, David. And this is your this is the last call for any further questions or comments you'd like to make. I'll pause here for a few seconds. I see John. John is typing, and now multiple attendees are typing.
John. Thank you, John. In terms
yes,
of the question,
go ahead, Dave.
Any alternatives to who is under consideration? Well, those will be part of the discussions that the community will be having on next steps. The generic name supporting organization will be working on a policy development process, and they will be, of course, looking for inputs from the various stakeholders, constituencies, and others. But at the moment, if you're talking about something to substitute for the current system, I don't think that's the focus at the moment, but obviously ideas such as that are something that you should input into our GDPR site or at the ICANN meeting to raise or ask those questions as part of the discussion to hear what other members of the community think about that or may be looking at as alternatives. Post on any
Thanks,
other
David.
Questions?
And I see John is still typing, so I'll wait here for a second, and then slides will be posted shortly after the webinar, as soon as they are ready. I'm pasting the link in the chat box now. And please note that not only the English slide deck, but also the Spanish translated version will be posted here on this link. So I will now turn it over to David for his final remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Ozan, and I'd like to thank everyone for participating in today's preparatory webinar for ICANN 62, the Policy Forum. It is going to be, I think, an exciting and timely meeting for all of us. As the groups are looking at important issues relating to data privacy protection, our WHOIS systems, as well as advancing other elements of policy and advice work at ICANN. So no matter if you are a regular ICANN participant or an occasional visitor or a newcomer, we welcome you to actively engage in our meeting. Either in person if you happen to be coming to Panama City, Panama, or remotely through our remote participation tools. And we thank Francisco for asking us about how to do that, and the link will help them. So with that, we would like to conclude this webinar. and look forward to seeing or hearing from you at the beginning of ICANN 62. With that, I'd like to wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be in the world, and we thank you for your interest and participation at ICANN. Thank you.